want to switch gears here now and talk about COVID and the vaccine, because we know the Biden administration announced this week that most Americans will be eligible for a COVID-19 booster shot in September, just a few weeks from now, after the CDC found vaccine effectiveness does decline over time. That is something we expected. Joining us now is Dr. Peter Hotez, co-director of the Center for Vaccine Development at Texas Children's Hospital and dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College of Medicine. We're also joined by our health reporter, Anjali Kamlani. Doctor, thanks so much for being with us. I want to begin with what the Biden administration told us this week. U.S. health officials now recommending we get this booster shot 8 months after our second dose. Do you think this is going to be an annual thing, that we're just going to keep needing the booster shot in the very same way we get the flu vaccine every year?
Actually, I don't. I think we could be, it's not one and done or two and done, but three and done. And here's why. You know, when that vaccine was rolled out in December and January, the first two doses were spaced 3 to 4 weeks apart, 3 weeks for Pfizer-BioNTech, 4 weeks for Moderna. And that's because we needed to fully immunize older individuals as fast as possible, because we were losing 3,000 American lives per day and we had to avert any further tragedy. It was actually a very good decision. The problem was, when you did that, there was a trade-off. The trade-off is, when you give that kind of rapid pace, a 1-2 vaccination schedule, you don't get very good long-lasting protection, durable protection. So that basically bought us a third immunization right from the beginning, and that's what we're doing now. We're seeing this waning immunity in terms of a decline in terms of preventing infection from over 90% to 40 to 50%. And the worry, I think, is from Health and Human Services, is that that's the tip of the spear, and we'll start seeing now a lot of breakthrough hospitalizations, hence the recommendation. But I think the message is, should be, that this third immunization was both predicted and predictable. And it looks like the response to that is quite impressive. After you give that third immunization, I anticipate long-lasting protection, high levels of virus-neutralizing antibody, resilience to the variants, and that may be it. So it's not impossible that we'll need annual boosters. I just don't see us heading that way for now.
Dr. Hotez, I'd love if you could expand on that a little bit, knowing that we can look at the timeline of how the federal government really got to this, starting from early July, when we had the CDC, the NIH, and FDA in a joint statement saying that they didn't really see the need for boosters. And, you know, really soon after that, I think, is when we started seeing Israel data and UK data coming in. And then following that, we got the announcement yesterday with U.S. health officials saying that there will need to be a booster starting at earliest September 20th, even though we're waiting for the process. So looking at it from that perspective, you know, is it too soon to have this conversation about boosters? And what are your thoughts about how the FDA and CDC, especially the advisory committees, are going to be able to handle all of this, considering the announcement has already been made?
Well, a lot to unpack there, Anjali. Let me give you a few ideas. I think, first of all, you know, a number of us in the scientific community anticipated that this is going to be a three-dose vaccine to give longer-lasting protection and greater resilience against the variants. I think what happened, though, when the Pfizer CEO sent out that press release, it caught everybody a little off guard, because they said, no, we need to do this now because of the Delta variant, yet there was not underlying supporting data that was presented. Eventually, the data came out, and I think it was the right call. But, you know, without anything to back it, I think it took Health and Human Services off guard, and they said, no, we know we're going to do this, but not right now. And that certainly could have been messaged better. I think also, with regard to yesterday's announcement from the White House, I think they mentioned it, but it needs to be better emphasized that it's not just their call. It's got to go through the agencies, the Food and Drug Administration, possibly the VRBPAC committee, and the CDC and the ACIP committee. And I think it's pretty likely that it will go through. And then it's a matter of trying to figure out how you order it all. I think doing it on the basis of rolling time, meaning if you were the first to get immunized, you should be the first to get vaccinated. All I would say about that is, if you remember that rollout in December and January last year, and then February, it got pretty chaotic. And that's a reminder that our health system can't tolerate a lot of fussiness, can't tolerate a lot of complexity. We need to make it really simple for people, because otherwise things get unglued pretty quickly, and it starts to that in itself becomes destabilizing.
Definitely. Thanks for unpacking all that. I knew you could handle that. The next thing I want to ask you about is the vaccine mandates and passports. I know we're seeing a lot of them pop up. I know in Texas, you're seeing that from the ground, the mask mandates specifically, and how school districts are handling that in defiance of the governor. But I did see an interesting note this morning from an analyst who said that they spoke to an infectious disease expert saying that employee vaccinations and mandates and passports are largely a waste of time, since vaccinated individuals are able to transmit the virus, and especially when we're looking at Delta and its sort of impacts. Your thoughts on that? Is there really a value at this point, considering how infectious this variant is?
Yes, and I think it's not quite true that vaccinated individuals are transmitting the virus as well as unvaccinated. With Delta, there's no question there's a lot more virus in the nasal passages and nasal secretions. So there is more virus shedding than we saw with the previous variants in vaccinated individuals. But I think there's now additional evidence that it's short-lived. And so no question that unvaccinated people are contributing most of the virus into the environment. So I think it is important that we mandate vaccinations. I was hoping we weren't going to have to get there, and I was hoping to hold off as long as possible in the hopes that vaccinations would accelerate organically, and there'd be this auto correction as people saw their colleagues start getting sick if they were unvaccinated. And that is starting to happen somewhat, but not nearly as fast as needed. So unfortunately, I do think employer mandates are going to be important. The problem, though, is the schools. So we have no state now mandating vaccines in the schools for those 12 and up, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. And that's unfortunate, because especially down here in the South, those individuals 12 to 17, we have vaccination rates around 25%, three times higher up in many of the northeastern states. So there's a huge vulnerability there as well. And that's all regulated at the level of the state. And this goes to show you that the federal government has limited reach. They can do a few things like the Veterans Administration, the military, and these are important things, but they don't seem to have that reach. The federal government historically has not had that reach into the schools, the K through 12 schools anyway.
Yeah, it's an ongoing debate for sure for our young people. Dr. Peter Hotez, thanks so much for being with us, and our health reporter Anjali Kamlani for joining us on that conversation.